I got a time limit here, and hopefully I can get it all done in the time, but I'll shorten it up, whatever we got to do. If you got a chance, turn to Jude chapter 20, verse 22. Going to share, this is about, I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but I'm the bus director, so this message is on the bus ministry in the Bible. I found four different bus ministries in the Bible. And you think, well, I didn't see no buses running in the Bible, but you're going to see it tonight, okay? All right, let's read chapter, verse 22 in Jude. It says, "And some, having compassion, making a difference." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear Lord, for this morning, this evening, dear Lord. I thank you for all that are here. God, I pray that you'd help me, give me what I need to say. God, I pray that you'd open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, having compassion, and we're going to look at, I'll tell you what the points are. There's four points. It's compassion, and if we got time, we'll get to all four of them. It's compassion, circumstances, cooperation, and commitment. These all four of these is different bus ministries in the Bible that I found. And each one, the first one, if you turn to Luke chapter 10, I want to look at the first one tonight. The first bus that I found is in verse 33, and it says, give you a second to get there. And it says, Luke chapter 10, verse 33, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds and pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him." Listen, the bus ministry is just like this man. He was going through his day. He was on his journey going through his day, but he had his eye out looking for someone he could help, and he found somebody. And I didn't turn this on, did I? My son's up there shaking his head. I think, did it come on? I'll stand right here in front of this. But he found somebody. He was going about his business. He was on his journey, but he found somebody, and he went to him, and he helped him. He wasn't like the first two that saw him. The first two saw him. One got on the other side of the road and passed on. Didn't want nothing to do. Couldn't be busy by it. Couldn't be bothered by it in his busy day or any of that. But the second two came by. And they looked on him. They looked on the man laying there that was hurt and bound up. They looked on him. You know what I thought? They thought about, you know what? He really needs to get some help. But they still didn't have no compassion. They talked about it. How many times we talk about, you know, they really need to have Jesus. They really need to get saved. They really need to get saved, but we really don't do anything. We don't move to them. This man got off his beast, went to him, picked him up, put him on his beast, and took him to where he could get help. See, that's the first bus ministry that I found. See, in the bus ministry, you're going to have compassion. You're going to have compassion for people. Not just the people that you're friends with, for people you don't know. You're going to have an eye always looking for someone you can help. You know, I can be honestly, I can, and our bus workers that we have in here tonight, I can tell you honestly, each one of these, I know personally, each one of these has done one of these things. I don't know, Brother Russell, where are you at? Where's Brother Russell at tonight? He's working? Well, I'll brag on him because he's not here. Brother Russell came to me one evening and asked me if it was a good idea what he did. He found somebody that was broke down, and they were from out of state. You know what he did? He took them and got them a hotel room that night. I can find some of our bus workers in this. In every one of these points, I'll find one of our bus workers. Listen, it turned to chapter 5. I'm going to try to be real fast. One of my best friends, Charlie, I got to preach this to him on the way. He started a van route at his church, and he found out I was sharing tonight, and he said, "Well, tell me what you're sharing." So on the way home, I got to preach to him this afternoon on the way home. And I said, "Now, did I keep it?" He said, "I think you did it in 5 minutes." I said, "Brother, I was hurrying." 2 Kings chapter 5. This one here is one that I have to work on a lot. This here, and it's not really, and sometimes we think bus ministry is somebody going to bring something in. But you know what the bus ministry really does? Is actually trying to get someone that needs to get saved to the one that can help them, to get them to Jesus. And it says, now let's look at verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto the mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy. You know, I see this young lady here, God don't even tell us her name, but she's a slave. See, she's not letting her circumstances of everything that she's done, everything that she has in her life, control whether or not she's going to help somebody else. She's not letting those circumstances. She's going to help someone else regardless of her circumstance. She's a slave and someone else. Not only that, she's helping her enemy. You realize she's a slave in a foreign land, a different culture and everything, and she's helping her enemy. And she's not letting her circumstances control what she says. All she looks at is she says, you know what? He needs to get to Samaria. I know where he needs to go. And she's willing to speak up and say something. The circumstances. See, I look in our bus, in your bus ministry, you'll want to knock on a door and you'll have some of the weirdest people sometimes come to the door and you're wondering, oh no. Or you'll walk in a building and the smell just knocks you down from inside the apartment building or something. And you think, oh, this isn't going to be good. But you got to look past all that. But you got to look past your own circumstances also, because you're trying to help someone else. The problems that you're having is the problems that may be able to help them. See, her circumstances, she didn't look at them. She just wanted to get someone to Jesus. She wanted to help him, help her own enemy. That's what we're supposed to be doing as bus workers and Christians, as helping others. She didn't look at her circumstances. If you want to be a great bus worker, you're not going to be able to look at your circumstances and say, oh, woe is me all the time. And really, to be honest with you, most people don't want to hear what your problems are because they got their own boatload that they're carrying. But can you help them? Can you not worry about your circumstances, what you're going through life, long enough to help someone else? Look in Luke chapter 5. I think I'm doing pretty good. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 and verse 18. I think our pastor used this. I don't know who remembers it. But he used this same illustration. And it was, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man, which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in. And they lay him before him. And when they could not find what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Listen, and it said in verse 20, it says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Listen. He saw their faith. He didn't see the man with the palsy's faith. He saw the four men that was carrying him. He saw their faith. And he said, you're healed. He said, your sins are forgiven. See, these men had to work together, cooperation. They had to work together to get him there. It takes cooperation. You know, it takes someone going out and visiting. It takes someone going and knocking a new door. Or someone seeing somebody that needs help and saying, hey, I know where you can get some help. The handmaiden didn't have to know a whole lot. Sometimes the devil confuses, oh, we got to know so much of the Bible. No, you don't. All you got to know where the answers are. You just let them go. Don't worry about what you don't know. Just concentrate on what you do know. That little handmaiden didn't know anything. All she said, oh, if you can just get to Samaria. These four men said, you know what, if I can just get my friend to Jesus. And they had to work together to get him there. One of them couldn't carry it. Two of them had been hard, but four of them on each corner. I can picture it, them walking in. And they get there and they can't get in because of the multitude. And that wasn't going to give them, they weren't going to give up. They're going to climb up on top of that roof and start removing the tiles and lowering him down in the middle. They weren't happy with him sitting in the back. They weren't happy with him. They wanted to get him right up front. Right up front. So they could be at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus saved that man. Said, hey, your sins are forgiven by their faith. He touched, that act touched Jesus' heart. Would you stand in the midst of someone else? Stand in that gap so that they get saved? So that they can know Jesus? Would you be willing to stand in that gap? Now this bus here was a couch. He brought him in on a couch. One brought him in on a beast. They brought him in on a couch. One little girl didn't have a bus at all. All she did was say, hey, I know where you need to go. The last one is the first bus ministry in the whole Bible. And most of us probably don't even think about it being a bus ministry. Turn to Genesis. Probably don't even think about it being a bus. But it was pretty big. Genesis chapter 5. It was pretty big. There's a couple things I like about this one. In Genesis chapter 5. And if I'd get to it myself now. Went everywhere but Genesis. And verse 32. I'll just lay a little bit of groundwork. When I get here, y'all probably know who it is. But it says, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And look over in verse chapter 7, verse 6, and it says, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Now, to save some time, Noah built an ark for God. And we talk about, well, that was for the animals. No, it wasn't. You think God wanted anybody to perish? God's not willing that any should perish. He sent two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah even after Abraham begged. If we just find 10, will you spare the city? But he still sent two angels to Sodom and Gomorrah. He sent Jonah, a rebellious prophet, to the great city of Nineveh to save Nineveh. He would have saved anybody that would gotten on that ark. If they were willing to get on that ark, he would have saved them. We think, oh, it was just about the animals. No. For 100 years, and 2 Peter chapter 5 says, Paul said that Peter said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For 100 years, he preached. And the only ones got on the ark was 8. That's commitment. That's sticking with what you know God has told you to do, and sticking with, not mattering how many it takes to do it or how long, just sticking to it, because that's what God's told you. See, we get so wrapped up in sometimes, well, nobody's coming, nobody's answering the door, nobody's doing this, but you're still doing what God told you to do because you're being obedient. Amen. You're being obedient to God. The very first bus ministry, all it had on there was the family of the preacher. That's all I had on there. No one got saved but the preacher's family. That was the very first bus ministry. I often think about how long we have commitment to stuff. You know what? If you look over in verse 16 of chapter 7, and it says, and they that went in, male and female. He's talking about the animals. And all flesh, as God commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. It was God that shut that door. You know, there's coming a time there's going to be a door shut here. There's coming a time that one day we're going to be called to heaven. And the door's going to be shut here. You're not going to get, I'm reminded of my wife. She had a real good friend that she worked with. She had bone marrow cancer. And when she died of bone marrow cancer, my wife was so upset because my wife never went and witnessed to her. A door was shut. How many people you got in your life that you haven't witnessed to yet? One day God's going to shut that door. And you won't get the witness to them. See, the bus ministry is not just buses and going down the road. Bus ministry is people having compassion and looking out and saying, you know what? This person needs to be saved. I know where I can get them to. But it takes more than just one person. It takes everybody. It takes a Sunday school teacher visiting them. It takes a Sunday school teacher preparing a lesson for when they're brought in. It takes bus workers working on the bus and handing out snacks and spending time with the kids. It takes a bus captain organizing the events and the games and the songs and stuff that we're having on the bus. It takes a bus captain praying for them. It takes a bus driver willing to get up early on a Sunday morning, go get his bus ready and get ready for the rest of everybody to come on, to check his bus over, have all that done. It takes everybody. See, if you don't feel like you're in the bus ministry, see, everybody's in the bus ministry. And if you feel like you're not, maybe it's because you're not doing any of these things. No, you don't ride a bus, but you don't have to ride a bus to be in the bus ministry. You can witness. You can go see somebody. You can see somebody that needs some help. Hey, you can point them to the right direction. You can be that little maiden. See, everybody's in the bus ministry. Because the bus ministry isn't about running a bus. It's about someone being saved. It's about somebody going to heaven. That's what the bus ministry is about. All right? Pastor, I'm going to close. If you want to think about being in the bus ministry and want to help with the bus ministry, get with me. Get with me. Brother Calvin, you know, I didn't mention it. But, you know, thinking about cooperation, I didn't realize this. One of my bus kids that I go visit found out one day. I went by their house, and they said, oh, yeah, Brother Calvin came by. He'd been coming by for weeks every Thursday night. He's driving all the way from Rutgersville to Culpeper to visit his bus kid, to visit his Sunday school class. And he was visiting this one young man. See, that's the cooperation. I told you I could pick out somebody in commitment. Brother Eddie, Brother Don, committed, not giving up, just keep going. Circumstances. I can think of people that with babies, 2 or 3 days old, I mean, just got out of the hospital, but they're on their bus on Sunday mornings. Committed. I can think of every one of our bus workers. And I want you to know that I'm proud of our bus workers. Amen. And how hard they work.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Brother David.